My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hey, good evening, everybody. We have got a ton of news to get through before we are going to go over to Nick Bryant, who was part of the exposure of the Franklin scandal, who brought us Epstein's Little Black Book. He was the first guy to publish it. He's coming on at 9:30. Let me just put this screen up here so we can see Bieber. Yeah, so we've got Bieber news. There's about 5 or 6 news stories come out today. Let me just pull these up for you guys now, and we will get into them. So we have got Khloe Kardashian in the mix as well. We've got that Justin Bieber is disgusted by Diddy allegations. Bieber is disgusted by his former mentor, and he has now been advised to stay as far away as possible from anything and everything related to Diddy. A source close to Bieber told, but that directive hasn't been an issue for Bieber, who wants nothing to do with the mogul. A second source said that Bieber is in a hard place mentally right now. I think he's been in a hard place since he was a kid. Mentally. As he struggles to come to terms with the allegations against Diddy. He has such a history with Diddy, and the allegations against him have been hard to process. Questions are being raised over why those responsible for Bieber allowed Diddy to be something of a mentor to him as a child. Indeed, where were his parental protections, guardians? People just razzle-dazzled the prospect of the kid. Or were they just absent? Sources closer to Bieber said that he should never have been allowed to party with Diddy or anyone else when he was a teen, that he was thrown to the wolves. And we saw the video, the 48 hours. Yeah, that's all being rehashed. If you've just tuned in, we've got Nick Bryant coming in 25 minutes. And he's done amazing work on the Franklin scandal. He's the guy who published the Epstein list. And he's been a long friend of the channel for many, many years. Of course, his stuff that we did with him on Epstein got wiped off the face of the earth. So there's a story here about his song. Justin Bieber's song sales are up 1,400% with all the interest in Bieber that's been going on because of the Diddy case. 1,400% increase in pure purchases in the span of just a few days, according to Forbes. Per Luminate, the second single from Bieber's 6th studio album, Justice, sold 1,500 copies last week. A steep jump from the prior week when it only sold 100. And this rise in purchases is because Bieber fans have been claiming that lyrics from Lonely may be hinting at what allegedly happened between him and Diddy when he was a minor. So in the song Lonely, Justin says, "And everybody saw me sick, and it felt like no one gave a beep. They criticized the things I did as an idiot kid. What if you had it all, and it felt like nobody to call? Maybe then you'd know me, because I've had everything, but no one's listening. And that's just lonely. I'm so lonely, lonely." Yeah, it's really sad. In a resurfaced clip, Diddy stands next to Justin, tells the camera he's having 48 hours with me. It's a 15-year-old's dream, blah, 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 all the schmoozing. Fans have called the clip disturbing and creepy, and Khloe Kardashian has now recalled crossing paths with Bieber at one of Diddy's parties, and she has revealed that half of the guests were naked. So she made the remarks, which have resurfaced in an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. The song Lonely was released in 2020. Coco Blanco. Justin was discovered at age 13 when he catapulted to worldwide fame. Good grief. In 2019, he reflected on his darker parts of his life due to growing up in the spotlight. And then, of course, there was the arrests. No one protected him, not even his family. Absolutely adore this song, but the words have always stood out to me. I hope he can heal with time. That's Dion Gray. By 19, he was doing heavy substances and abusing his relationships. "I became resentful, disrespectful to women, and angry. I became distant to everyone who loved me, and I was hiding behind a shell of a person I had become," he wrote. He turned his life around, marrying Haley in 2018, welcomed the first kid in August of this year. But now all this is surfacing and appears to be dragging his psyche back down. According to sources, Justin has been thrown by the accusations against Diddy and is unwilling to process it or discuss it. He has completely shut down. All right, so that's another Diddy story. Let me get rid of that one. And then we've got... let me just get the screen share off. There we go. All right. So we've got, this one's just come out today, Diddy's drastic move that bought the silence of celebrities before his bombshell arrest. Diddy may have bought the silence of A-list friends by handing them back the lucrative rights to the music records in exchange for NDAs. This is coming from a former rapper. I've been watching stuff all day. Jaguar Wright did another podcast. 50 Cent remains outspoken. Lord Jamar is popping up everywhere. A couple of the bodyguards are pitching in. And we've actually got a guy coming on Friday night who's been researching Diddy and that scene for years. And this guy has met a lot of the characters that could be allegedly described to be part of Diddy's London network. So we're going to be looking at what he's got to say, and it's going to be very controversial, I think. And he's going to name names, but we're going to have to say lots of allegedly. We've watched a video by Tisa Tells, who's talking about the UK network. Tisa Tells doing fantastic work on the Diddy case. Put a one in the chat if you've seen any of Tisa Tells' videos on Diddy. When's Lionel on next? He rocked it. Oh my God, when Lionel was doing the impressions of the the guys talking about the voodoo. Eating the pets. Yeah, we got a few ones. Put two in the chat if you're not. So, yeah, so Tisa tells, she's done a video on the UK network, but because she's not from the UK, I mean, she's done a good job. The guy I spoke to said she's about 80% correct, but he's going to lay it down exactly as it is on Friday at 7 p.m. before the Royal Mass. So I can see that about two-thirds have been watching her on YouTube. Shout out to Tisa Tells. And we'd love to get her on as well after the interview on Friday. Also, I've just confirmed another guest. Many of you may be familiar with Gloria Masters out of Australia, went through horrific things. We have had her on the channel a lot over the years. And she's going to be coming back on to talk about Diddy in the context of her own story, which involves SRA, etc. I mean, it's one of the most horrific stories you could ever possibly hear in your life. Right, let's end that poll. Put a one in the chat if you're familiar with the story of Gloria Masters out of Australia. And a two in the chat if you've not. I think it was about 4 years ago when we had it on, but we had to take it down. All right, anyway, back to this story. So they're alleging that Diddy bought the silence of his A-list friends by handing them back the rights to their music records in exchange for them signing NDAs. This is what a rapper's saying. I see quite a lot of twos on Gloria. All right, well, get ready. She's an excellent speaker, intense but harrowing. So a month before he was hit with the lawsuit from Cassie, Diddy surprised the music industry by giving back the publishing rights under his Bad Boy label to a host of artists under his control. While the decision was praised at the time, rapper Mark Curry, joining the Daily Mail's hit podcast The Trial of Diddy This Week, to offer his thoughts on the inside about what he really believes went down, said he gave all of the artists back their publishing rights in exchange for an NDA not to talk about him, because I think he had some kind of deal that this was coming down the pipeline. Tried to cover up his tracks real quick, but it didn't work. Now, remember, I did a video the other night about Diageo and BlackRock. It's got quite a lot of traction. And how they acknowledged they transferred $1 billion to him over the course of their relationship. That's where the vast majority of Diddy's wealth came from, especially from the Ciroc deal. So there was a lot of jockeying around with legal documents around the time of Cassie with the people he were in business relationships with, whether it was his artists or people paying him for products such as Ciroc. So in this Daily Mail podcast, Curry appeared alongside host Marjorie Hernandez, Daily Mail's West Coast news editor, for the episode that delved into the legacy of Diddy following his arrest. The rapper told us even years after leaving Bad Boy, he has still not recovered financially or emotionally. After years of touring and writing hits for Diddy, the promise of his debut album never materialized, and the publishing rights to the song he wrote under Bad Boy brought zero money to his own pocket, since Diddy and the label owned the lion's share of the publishing rights. Disillusioned, Curry said he made the decision to step away from his rap career and went back home to Georgia to make ends meet. He became a carpenter. So that's so true, because I know that when I started writing books, my life story, Party Time, Hard Time, Prison Time, the trilogy, it was originally published by Random House. And I thought I would get, you know, a decent share of the royalties. We were selling £100,000 worth of books a year. I mean, me and my mum were doing Waterstones book signings up and down the country. And what I mean by that, people weren't lined up at a table. People basically were accosted by us with leaflets. We were putting them in headlocks, basically, to buy the book. Let me ask you guys a question. If I'm selling £100,000 worth of books a year for Random House, and they pay me a royalty check every 6 months, how much do you think I got every 6 months? And if anyone guesses it correct, email me, and I will give you any one of the trilogy, Party Time, Hard Time, or Prison Time. I'll have one a copy sent to you for free. Whoever's the closest. So we've got 6K from Ben, 13K from Tom, 3K from Death, 5K, 1.2K, 500, 500, 7K. Right, no one's hit it. No one's hit it on the nose, but one person is 800 away from it. Yes, someone's got it. Someone's got it. I just saw it. All right, Susan Reich. Susan Reich, you have won a copy of one of my books. £2,000. Oh, you put $2,000. Never mind. It's £2,000. And Mr. 7451, you got it as well. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop there. You guys, my email's on my website, seanatwood.com. Send me an email. Say you want a book. And let me know which one you want from Amazon. Party Time, all the naughty stuff I did. Hard Time, Sheriff Joe Powers Jail. Or Prison Time. So, yeah. So, my point is, I was selling £100,000 worth of books a year for Random House, one of the biggest publishers in the world. And they were sending me £2,000 every 6 months. So, we understand what this guy's saying. If Diddy's got the rights, he's making peanuts. But if Diddy was giving rights back, he's making payoffs, quid pro quo, for people signing NDAs so they will keep their mouths shut about him when the crapola hits the fan, which it has done. So, yeah, so Curry got the short end of the stick and ends up becoming a carpenter. But the ups and downs of his career with Bad Boy and dealing with Diddy, aka the Devil, continue to haunt him. In fact, in 2009, Curry wrote a book. Oh, I'm sure his sales are going up now. I hope he's getting something now. Wrote a book about his dealings with Diddy. Hopefully it's up there with Chris Todd's book. Anyway, let's give his book a plug. Curry's book is called Dancing with the Devil, How Puff Burned the Bad Boys of Hip Hop, and it details his tumultuous experiences working under Diddy. If there's an audiobook version, folks, I'm going to download it. Check it out. I've already had Chris Todd's Kim's Last Words, but I've already done that one in the last week. He said the last time he spoke to Diddy was around September 2023, a month before Cassie filed her bombshell lawsuit. It was then that Diddy made a move that surprised the industry. He returned the publishing rights that Bad Boy owned to some of the original artists, including Curry, rapper MA dollar sign E, is that Maisie, Cameron, Faith Evans, The Lox, 112, and others. But he wasn't doing it for humanitarian purposes. His decision was applauded, but Curry says that Diddy knew the walls were closing in on him. Quote, he gave all of the artists back their publishing rights in exchange for an NDA not to talk about him, because I think he had some kind of idea that this was coming down the pipeline. Tried to cover up his tracks real quick. It didn't work. He said getting publishing rights back was equivalent to, quote, like giving you back a Nissan Sentra when it was brand new in 2024, when it was not even valued in the junkyard. They got smart cars now, battery-operated Teslas and stuff, he added. I felt like he gave me back a female that I used to love, that he had SA'd and R-worded, took advantage of her, then gave her back to me. I used to love her. That's how I felt about it. I used to love her. Then he did that. Curry said that, quote, as soon as I got it back, I got rid of it in the same stroke. I don't want it. When asked by Hernandez if he had signed an NDA, Curry said, Diddy can't tell me not to do anything. Because we had a contract when we first got into business and it said that you was going to help me further my career, that didn't work. So now any other contract that you have for me, I'm avoiding it too. So since we're going to be disrespectful, we're going to be disrespectful all the way around the table. It just ain't going to be you telling me and me listening. So I'll be like, cool. That ain't going to stop me from doing nothing. So Curry's appearance came after Hernandez was joined last time by Greg Kading, an investigator assigned to the murder of Tupac in 96, who explored Diddy's alleged connection to the slaying, which was said to have been rooted in the beef between Bad Boy Records and Suge Knight's Death Row. And we've got John Potash coming on the 13th to talk about that. Kading claimed Diddy hired members from the Notorious Crips Street Gang in 1995 during a stop of the Summer Jams tour in Anaheim, California to carry out the hit. And in Kim's lost words, she says that Tupac refused a threesome, but she was having carnal relations with Tupac one-on-one. And Diddy put it out on Tupac. You know, look how fine Kim is. Come on, man. All this stuff was putting the pressure on for the threesome. But Tupac wasn't having any of it. So, right, we've got 5 minutes before Nick comes in. And there's still three other stories that have come out today. Let me see if I can get these through these fast. All right, so we've got Diddy demands feds turn over the evidence as his mom's secret jail visit is revealed. So I was watching Busby on Pierce, I think it was last night, and also the people that he had on afterwards. And yeah, the woman on the end was really outspoken about the mom, and there was a bit of beefing going on with the other guests. Anyway, all right. So Diddy is demanding investigators turn over any evidence they have against him as he prepares for his defense. All right. So you are entitled to all the evidence they've got against you, but they don't have to give it you like that. In my case, it was a complex case, importing the Disco Biscuits from Amsterdam into America. That's what I was guilty of. Take full responsibility. And in my case, there was over 100 co-defendants. And my lawyer, he kept trying to get the evidence, and they kept saying, we can't give you the evidence. It would basically fill a warehouse. So what he did was, he got drives, hard drives, with the evidence on. And he got the jail, he got them to authorize legal visits, daily legal visits, where I had to go over all the evidence for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours every day for like a month and tabulate the allegations against me. And it actually worked out in my favor that I spent the time doing all of that, because they didn't have much evidence against me, but they were talking it up. So, yeah, they've got to give you the evidence. There's another thing called exculpatory evidence, which means it's something they find that can benefit your case, the defense side, but the prosecutorial side has found it, and they legally are required to hand it over to you, but quite often they hide exculpatory evidence. They're very sneaky, these prosecutors. All right, so he's also asserting his right to a speedy trial. So he wants the evidence quick and he wants a trial quick. Yeah. We were asking for fast due process. And I was fighting my case for 26 months. I had multiple sentencing hearings postponed after family members flew all over the world to come and speak on my behalf. The wheels of justice move very slowly and you ain't got nothing coming if you are incarcerated. It doesn't matter if you're pre-trial and there's a presumption of innocence. They treat you like an animale. All right, so prosecutors are copying more than 40 electronic devices belonging to Diddy. Discovery in this case is voluminous, totaling several terabytes of electronic material. This is the latest government filing. There are 1,000 gigabytes per terabyte of data, meaning the government is currently sifting through thousands of gigabytes worth of potentially crucial information. This includes cell phones, laptops, tablets, hard drives, cloud accounts from Diddy and third parties. Yeah, once they get one person's cell phone number, then they get taps on the rest, or they trace the messages to the rest, and it just bursts out like a spider, ever-expanding spider's web of data. And you can't print these things out anymore because there's just so much. It's all got to be done electronically. Prosecutors are also scouring business records from financial institutions, phone companies, hotels, and airlines as they build their case. This comes amid a revelation that Janice Combs and twin daughters visited him at Brooklyn Metropolitan Detention Center. The publication of describing the visit has described the reunion as emotional. Let me just see if Nick Bryant is in the studio yet. No, he's not come in yet. They described it as emotional. Lawyers for Diddy said, "We understand that the government seized a significant amount of Diddy's electronic devices and data pursuant to search warrants that were executed on March 25th, 2024. The government also seized additional devices belonging to Mr. Combs at the time of his arrest about 3 weeks ago. The timely production of these materials is critical to Mr. Combs' ability to prepare his defense." Look, if they've just picked up devices 3 weeks ago, I know from personal experience, he's not going to get that for a while. His lawyers argued that because the devices in question belong to Mr. Combs, their production should not be delayed by the government's initial review for responsiveness and privilege. The government has indicated they will be able to produce these devices in the next 30 days. Yeah, so what happens is they say you'll get it in 30 days, and then 30 days comes, and they file a motion asking for another 30 days, and then that comes, and then they just file. I've been in the system. It happened to me. The government has argued it will take days to even copy the data from the devices due to the volume of materials, but has vowed to make rolling productions within the next 30 days of hard drives that were seized from the defendant. Let me just check if Nick's come in to the next one yet. Is he in over there yet? No, he's not over there yet. All right, we'll keep going with this. In the filing, the government said it hopes to hand over all discovery by the end of the year. I'm just going to check my emails. You're going to send links. Oh, he's not got the link. All right, I've already sent him the link, but I'm just going to send it him again now. Bear with me, guys, while I send Nick Bryant the link, and we will get right back to this stream. He is waiting to come on right now. And if you're not familiar with Nick's fantastic work on Epstein and his fantastic work on the Franklin scandal, then you're going to love what he's got to say. He's a very thorough investigator of these cases. There's his link, BXHI. Right, link was just sent to Nick. And as soon as he comes in, I'm going to switch over. But let me finish these news stories for you guys. Let's get this back up. All right, so they hope to hand over all the discovery by the end of the year. Diddy's attorney also voiced concerns about unauthorized and prejudicial leaks of grand jury information during the file to Judge Arun Subramanian. Following her jailhouse visit, Janice Combs felt compelled to speak out about her son's case, arguing that he's being subjected to a public lynching. I come to you today as a mother that is devastated and profoundly saddened by the allegations made against my son, Sean Combs. That's what she said in a statement through her lawyer, Natalie Biggers. It is heartbreaking to see my son judged, not for the truth, but for a narrative created out of lies. To bear witness what seems to be like a public lynching of my son before he has had the opportunity to prove his innocence is a pain too unbearable to put into words. Check if Nick's responded to that. Is it coming in yet? Link has been definitely been sent. Yep. Footage, of course, resurfaced last month of Diddy and Janice sharing a kiss as they were hooked up on to IV drips, beginning by puffing what appears to be the green. He introduces Janice as Mum Dukes before billing her as single and ready to mingle. Wow. An attorney representing Diddy's accusers, Busby, said his phone was ringing off the hook. Yep, so we had Busby on 2 nights ago, and then he was on Pierce last night. Another great interview. And he is saying that, you know, there's big names in there and these lawsuits are going to start getting filed. Quote, we want to make sure if we name individuals beyond Mr. Combs, that we have done our homework, because it is going to create a firestorm. And we understand that. If you were there in the room, participated, watched it happen and didn't say anything or helped cover it up, in my view, you have a problem. He vowed to pursue the case against any offender aggressively and said the scope was broad. In the wake of his arrest, all of Diddy's celebrity friendships have been under scrutiny, of course. Photos resurfacing, etc. All right, let me just send this link to Nick again. We are just waiting for Nick to come in. Just going to send it him again. We are live. And waiting Nick here. Just going to send it to him. I'll send it on the email. And I'll send it to him on Twitter as well. One second, let me find him on Twitter as well. Yeah, we did hours and hours with Nick on Epstein. And we did hours and hours with Nick on the Franklin scandal. And like I said at the opening of the interview with Busby, we were concerned about his safety. because I watched what he said to Chris Hansen. And with the Franklin scandal, it was only the survivors who went to prison. All the elites were protected. And the chief investigator of the Franklin scandal went down in a plane crash. Let me just, it's quite fascinating actually. Let me just pull that up. Franklin scandal investigator plane crash. Yep, Gary Cardone. There it is. This was in 1990. Wow. Let's see which one's a good one to go with. That's a screenshot of the original article. Newspapers.com. Oh, I've just heard Nick Bryant come in to the studio, guys. So if you are watching this one, I'm going to close this one now. And you will automatically be transferred over to the interview with Nick Bryant. Thank you for joining in. And don't forget to email me for the people who won some copies of my books. And get your questions ready for Nick. He's so thoroughly researched on these subjects. So we'll see you in the next one, folks.